a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Home Time. So, I am hearing some kind of background something about the July 4th or the 4th of July. I don't know where that's coming from.
Sorry about that.
Did you hear it, Matt?
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Uh-oh. So, for those of you who may not remember, it is the first Thursday of the month. And that means we have none other than Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed, who comes and gives us a political view of the world that we then toss around and kick like a soccer ball. Or maybe we toss around and kick it like we'd like to do to most of our politicians these days. Like kick the ball right out of the ball. I don't know. So you can hear Matt Connerton on 95.3 WMNH, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Or you can go to IPMNation.com. And from 4 to 6 Eastern Standard Time, tune into the show no matter where you are, and you can listen to Matt's ravings. Matt, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? You sound out of breath or something.
Well, the air's a little heavy. You know, what can I say? You know, at least my noise canceling earbuds, you can't hear the fact that all the hospital noises around me, all the machines going off, and them saying, he's coding.
Good. Big relief.
Good. Yes. Yeah.
We don't want to have to hear that.
Yeah. if I get really quiet and they pick up the phone and go, do you know his next of kin? Then you'll know what happened.
Right.
But anyways, so this is the first Thursday of July. And we all know July is the best month of the year, right?
I do enjoy the summertime.
Okay. And do you know why July is the best month of the year?
Because I enjoy the summertime.
Oh, there's more to it than that. Work harder. Oh. Work harder, Matt.
I don't know why.
There was an earth-shattering event that we celebrate every year at this time that makes it the best month of the year. Do you know what that is?
Oh, do you mean the 4th of July, where we have pool parties and barbecues and breathe in each other's faces?
No, I'm talking about the 4th of July, where we celebrate my birthday. Thank you.
Your
birthday
is on the 4th of July? I didn't know that.
You didn't. You've known that. You've known me for too many years. I never keep that a secret.
I'm really bad, though, at paying attention to people's birthdays, like legit. So I probably did, and I probably forgot. And please don't take offense. I just, I don't remember anyone's birthday. I don't remember my own birthday sometimes. I wake up and someone says, happy birthday. And I'm like, what do you mean? Oh, yeah.
I always say that 4th of July is the best birthday in the world.
Yeah.
Yep. I always say I came in with a bang. I'm going to go out with a bang. I'm going to bang my way all the way through. That's what it means to be born on the 4th of July.
Ooh.
So.
Okay.
Yes. So, yes, now there's a couple of other little, intrusive national holidays that happen in July, I think, but I don't pay any attention to them. You know, we know that the big reason July is the best month because it's my birthday. I mean,
right. There's even a movie about it called Born on the 4th of July.
I know. I saw it. It should have been called Bored on the 4th of July. Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, so there are a few things I do want to go over today that may be a little off kilter for this particular show that we usually do, but we're going to get to those. I want to find out what do you think's going on in our political world these days? And what have been the hot topics on the Matt Connerton show?
Well, you know, obviously, I mean, we're in election season. We've been talking a lot about that on my show. I do believe Joe Biden is most likely going to be the next president. And, you know, we talk a lot about that. We talk a lot about, you know, what's happened in the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd and Black Lives Matters and all that, Black Lives Matter. And we talk a lot about, you know, COVID-19, which obviously continues to dominate the headlines as well. And of course, that is very political. Whether or not to wear a face mask is actually politicized in this country, which is really discouraging and frustrating. But I mean, you know, the biggest thing, of course, is the presidential election. And I like I said, I'm pretty sure. I mean, you know, Biden in most polls is ahead between 10 and 15 points. And typically, by the time you get this far in the summer, whoever's that far ahead winds up winning. So I do believe we're going to see a Joe Biden presidency, as our current president continues to show no leadership on coronavirus and seems to have already given up and moved on from it. And I don't think he's concerned about it. And, you know, so we're going to need somebody in there who actually cares. So these are some of the things that we've been talking about.
So, well, you know that today, the Texas governor issued a mandatory mask policy for counties with 20 or more cases of COVID. So Texas has put a mandatory mask. Don't you find that interesting? Because weren't they one of the big, like, you know, mask-free or die states there for a long time?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're panicking. You know, they're in a total panic there and in Florida. You know, it's so frustrating. You know, here in New Hampshire, I mean, well, in the Northeast, thank goodness we've done well with this. We're one of the parts of the country that actually continues to do well. Thank goodness. But, you know, overall, I mean, I'm pretty discouraged. You know, I woke up this morning to looking at my phone, and the first thing I see is a story in Alabama where these college students were having these coronavirus parties and taking bets on who would be diagnosed with it first and whatnot. And I've been angry a lot lately, you know, you know, I love my country and whatnot, but I just feel like as a country, and a lot of it has to do with our terrible leadership or lack thereof, but my feeling is, as a country, we're just not up for this fight. You know, other countries have done really well with it. Japan, Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, some others. But in the United States, I just feel like we're not up for this fight. We're in a country full of narcissistic sociopaths who refuse to wear a mask. We have an incredible, and I fear, ever-growing anti-science attitude in this country, where any science that is personally inconvenient to you, you can just dismiss it and call it fake, you know, just like with climate denial, the same idea. So we're going to have, I'm not usually negative like this, but I've been feeling pretty negative. We're going to have a summer of terrible sickness and death in America. We're not up for this one. You know, we don't have the discipline. We're soft. We don't have the discipline and the determination that other countries do. And it's going to be a rough summer.
Yep, it is. And you may or may not remember, it was like back in February, March. I think it was February, but somewhere back then, they were thinking, oh, there'll be a wave in the fall. I'm like, no, there's going to be a big wave in July.
Yeah.
And it is. And they have already today documented 48,000 new cases, and the day is not over. And we could hit 60 today. We broke 50 yesterday.
Yeah. These
are incredible. These are incredible numbers for people to be stupid about and not. And you see the stories coming out, because sometimes if you can identify. You know, there's a story of the 30-year-old guy who ended up on an intubator because he went to a bar and said he wasn't really worried about COVID. And then he gives this tearful story about what a fool he was. There's the 51-year-old truck driver who went to a birthday party for social isolation, and somebody else, because he was tired of the social isolation, even though he had diabetes and he had asthma and he had all these things, and he goes to the party and somebody in the party has tested positive for COVID and says, but they thought it was okay to go because they weren't showing any of the symptoms.
Right.
And they went to the party. Now, this 51-year-old died yesterday, and I don't even remember the number of people that this party, that got sick. And, you know, so you're having more and more people that are turning around on a dime from dismissive to hear my story. The question is, how many will there be before we can see any change in some of these people? And we may never. But, you know, I made an alluded to Texas being a, you know, mask-free or die state, and Florida was certainly a mask-free or die state. So South Carolina, a mask-free or die state. And guess what? They're getting their wish. They got the or die part. They got to keep their mask-free, and now their citizens are dying. And if they don't vote out their politicians, then COVID didn't take all the stupid, did it? Because I've said all along, I'd be okay with COVID if it would just take out the stupid.
Exactly.
But if they don't vote out these politicians that, you know, well, old people should be okay with dying, so it gives our young people. Now, young people, the fastest growing number, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, and their lives are going to be changed for years afterwards because this thing is so ugly.
Right.
And it leaves permanent scars, permanent scars. And, you know, and it's trusting. I mean, the Trump campaign thing they did in Phoenix at that church. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And Arizona was already on the rise. And we're just going to start to see the test positive from those cases next week and the week after.
Oh.
I mean, if you look at the cycle, those cases haven't even hit yet.
Yeah.
But it was on the rise, and he filled a mega church, 5,000 people, mm-hmm. with no mask, no social distancing, and Arizona was already headed up. I mean, like, this is just like, how stupid can you be? And then you still see things posted. Oh, it's all a scheme, and masks don't really help, and they're just trying to take away our rights. And then that same person 6 weeks later is looking into the camera with a tube out of their throat on their deathbed saying, I'm so sorry I said that. But it doesn't make any difference.
Too late.
We've become so far away from the truth and self-responsibility in this country. And we were headed there. That's how Trump got in office, because we were already headed there. He's added to this, but he is a symptom of a much deeper cause. And you can't open a social media platform that you're not seeing a video of some crazy ass white person waving a gun, making a threat, trying to run somebody over because of their skin color, calling the police on a homeowner because they're in their own yard. This is going to be a 2020. It's going to be a breakdown year that the U.S. is going to come out a very different country, if it survives at all, as the country it is. You know?
Yeah.
I think we have to look at it. So this is the first show you have been on that you ever said Trump will lose.
Well, I've been saying it on my own show. But yeah, I do. If it were not for COVID, I think he'd be on his way to reelection because, you know, even if the economy experienced a downturn, enough people would have still you know, I mean, he's just, it's such a cult that I don't, you know, I don't know how you suppress those people. And, but, no, I mean, he's handled this so badly that, you know, like I said, I mean, I see polls with Biden 15 points ahead. And historically, you know, it went, once you get into summer, unless something drastic happens, if somebody has that large a lead, they're on their way to winning. You know, Hillary never had that large a lead. It was always very close, and everyone assumed that in the end she would win. And then she did win the popular vote. But no, Biden, I mean, it could be a landslide, but no, I believe Biden is going to win. I think it's going to be a massive blue wave, and I cannot wait to see the Republican Party punished severely for Trump and for the enabling of Trump and for all the Republicans who show zero spine in standing up to Trump. I really cannot wait to see them punished. It's going to be great.
And zero empathy for their constituents.
Right, right.
Yep, yep. It was all about being cool with the bully, the big bully mm-hmm. in the room,
oh, yeah.
the big orange bully in the room.
Oh, yeah.
So let's shift this conversation because it's been a month since we've talked. So who would you like to see be named vice president, and who do you think is most likely to be named vice president? You keep your pulse on this all. You keep your finger on these pulses, Matt, much better than I do.
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, it has to be a female because he made that commitment. And I could see Kamala Harris. I mean, that's if I were a betting man, that's who I would go with.
Who would you like to see? Who would be your first choice?
Well, I did develop quite a fondness for Amy Klobuchar. But there's some questions about her in the wake of the George Floyd murder about, you know, did she help enable and aid and abet the police department there in Minneapolis when she was a prosecutor because she declined to prosecute, you know, certain officers. And there's nobody I'm particularly enthusiastic about, to be honest with you. I'm not enthusiastic about Joe Biden. I just want to see him beat Trump. There's nobody I'm excited about.
Do you give any credence to the concept? And we'll be right back here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together, we can discover what's really going on.
A social distancing tip.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times. And this is a live call-in show. I dropped the ball in the first round. I don't know. I just got so excited about having Matt on as a guest. I completely blew my introduction. Hey, so 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. So if you'd like to offer an insight, an opinion, ask a question, that's the number. One last time, this segment, 202-570-7057. Call and share your thoughts. So, do you think, when elected, will Biden make it all 4 years, or do you think he's going to go in 3, 6, 9 months, pass the mantle over to the vice president? You hear that?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, perfect.
Any thoughts or ideas?
No, I mean, I don't see any reason. I mean, barring some major health issue, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't stay the full 4 years. I think the big question will be, does he run for re-election when he's, you know, 80 years old for a second term? And that I don't think he will. I think he'll do the one term and then get out. I mean,
they had floated that at one point. This was months and months ago before he was anywhere near clinching the nomination, but they had kind of put that out there. Just to, you know, as a trial balloon, just to see how people would react, and nobody reacted particularly favorably. But I think he'll do the full 4 years, but I don't think he'll run for a second term. I think so, which makes it that much more important, of course, who he picks for a VP, because whoever he picks for a VP will probably be running for the Democratic nomination in 2024.
The presumptive nominee.
Yes.
I think is the term they use, which all I can think of is it's awfully presumptuous of you to think you should be. But anyways, I know that's not how they mean it. So talk to me about what you think about Tammy Duckworth.
Well, there's a name I haven't heard in a long time. I kind of forgot about her, to be honest with you.
She's been floating back up at the top, and she's got some interesting creds. She's been in the House. She's been in the Senate. She's a wounded war vet. So they can't say she doesn't have the experience. Because, I would love to see Kamala Harris become like the attorney general and have her go after the Trumpettes, you know? But I don't know that I want to necessarily see her as vice president, though she'd still be head and shoulders over Pence. Go ahead.
That's not going to work. I just looked it up. Tammy Duckworth was born in Thailand.
Oh, does that stop her from getting elected as vice president?
I don't know. I don't know how that would work, but she can't be president. Yeah, it's weird. Like, I Googled her. There was an article in The Atlantic, the veteran who could be VP, but I don't see how that works. Yeah, she wasn't born in the United States. She's not eligible.
I was unaware of that. Because I've been looking at
Oh, that's true. Good point. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense then.
Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah. I'm trying to.
So
I'm looking at her Wikipedia page here.
So I just thought she would be an interesting choice. I mean, I've always been an Elizabeth Warren fan, but, you know, I'd like to see her stay right in the Senate right now and make sure that we, well, I'd like to just see Mitch McConnell go away, but at the very least, I'd like to see him demoted.
I think Mitch McConnell would, I was just going to say, I think Mitch McConnell would like to see Trump go away. I have a theory. Everyone I says that to is kind of looks at me funny, but, I think his fondest, you know, he would never admit it publicly, obviously, but I think his fondest wish would be to see Trump lose, believe it or not. And the reason I say that is because Mitch McConnell isn't likely to lose. I think he'd rather have Joe Biden in the presidency because that's someone he can deal with on certain things and someone who is predictable and steady. And Trump, I have no doubt, has made Mitch McConnell's life miserable with his unpredictability and other things as well. So I think McConnell would love to be around for a Biden presidency.
Even as my minority Senate leader?
Yes. If it comes to that, I mean, he'll still have power. He won't have as much power, but obviously Mitch McConnell's all about maintaining that power. But yes, I would bet you anything. He'll never admit it publicly, but I would bet you anything McConnell is dying for Trump to lose. Trump is the worst thing that ever happened to Mitch McConnell.
Okay. So I know you were looking up Duckworth to remind yourself, but no thoughts. It's okay. I'll ask you again next time. Her name floated across and I didn't know anything about her. And I poked around. I didn't see the Born in Thailand. I just did an article like you did. And I'm like, okay, well, she's got some interesting cred and she probably could make mincemeat out of it. You know, she's a veteran. She's a woman, you know, and she has the government experience. So it's interesting. I'm just kind of kicking that around.
Yeah, no, I think she'd be a good choice. But I suspect it's going to be an African American like Kamala Harris or Stacey Abrams or someone like that. That's what I suspect.
Okay. Well, we'll see as all of this unfolds.
Yes.
So Supreme Court, definitely got on the wrong side of Trump with a couple of its decisions lately.
But I haven't heard him. I like to see that.
People are smelling blood in the water. But first of all, the Supreme Court doesn't need to be afraid of Trump because even though he made comments that he would, I put you there and I can take you away, we know he can't.
Right.
But I don't know if anybody has convinced him he can't. So he may still think he can, you know, he can fire a Supreme Court justice. So what do you think of the court? Did it surprise you that they came out like this? Or are you not following that part of politics? Go ahead.
No, it didn't necessarily surprise me. I feel like there's a little bit of a history of this where you have a Republican president who gets these conservative leaning justices confirmed, and then they turn out to be not as conservative as maybe the conservatives would have liked. So there seems to be a little bit of a pattern. And, you know, John Roberts, I remember one of the first ways that he disappointed conservatives was on Obamacare, you know, not striking that. Was it the mandate, perhaps? No, I'm sorry. I don't think it was the mandate. I think it was the tax penalty. Maybe it was the mandate. I forget exactly what it was, but a part of the Affordable Care Act that he, you know, didn't want to strike down.
So, you know, there's a little bit of a pattern of this. I think John Roberts is all, I have no doubt that he's a conservative, but I think he's maybe more of a moderate to conservative, you know, and he used precedent to say, you know, that you can't, the state does not have a right to limit access to abortion. It was a very close vote. It was 5-4. So, had he gone the other way, you know, Louisiana would have very restrictive, access to abortion. But again, it's another reason why it's so important to get Trump out of there, because, you know, one more conservative on that court and these votes would start going the other way. And, you know, of course, I believe in protecting women's reproductive rights. But there's a little bit of a pattern here, and not just with John Roberts, but with Neil Gorsuch, who Trump got confirmed, who voted I think it was in favor of upholding DACA. So, you know, it's nice when these conservatives do the right thing. Oh, Kevin, are you still there?
Yeah.
I don't hear anything. Oh, there you are.
You know, they tend to be more social moderates, but conservative in like business and regulation and stuff like that. You know, I was reading somewhere and they were making a case how that the conservatives have always tended to be less conservative when it comes to social issues. It's really about the amount of like control that the government can have that they're very conservative, and, you know, like regulations and stuff like that and stuff that profits businesses, they fall on the conservative side. But socially, they tend to be more moderate. And I found that very interesting because I was not aware of that. But the article I was reading made a pretty good case for it, actually. And these last two decisions were examples of that. So
yeah,
if the Trump administration can get its way with the Supreme Court, something like 33 million people will lose health insurance in the middle of a pandemic. What do you think? You think the Supreme Court's going to give?
Yeah, I mean, it's always difficult to predict, you know, when it comes to that. But I'll tell you, I mean, the pandemic is yet another big example of why we need universal health care in this country. You know, at the time when people need it the most, millions of Americans have lost their health coverage because they've lost their jobs, and it shouldn't happen. It's inexcusable. We need, now more than ever, we need universal health care.
Okay. So before I move the foundation of this show a little to another direction, anything else that you think is worth noting or sharing, or you have an interesting or different observation about what's going on in the political arena over the last month or these days, whichever?
Well, I mean, we talked about the big stuff, you know, coronavirus and the election. And, you know, the only thing I would add maybe is I've been a little bit conflicted about, you know, I support the protests and whatnot, but at the same time, I'm so deeply worried about coronavirus that I get nervous about the protests that are going on making things worse. I mean, people generally are wearing masks. They're masking up, which is good, but you know, that may not be enough. But
you are seeing that more of them are masking up and taking more, unlike at a Trump rally.
Yeah.
Or at a, we're going to bring our guns and show up and go all cowboy at the state house about you telling us we have to wear masks. They're definitely the big spreaders. It's, you know, the question is how in your face and ultimately how violent is it going to have to get before there starts to be equity in this country for people of color, and that we look at that this isn't about capitalism. This is about amoral capitalism and systematic racism that from the time they got enslaved and brought here to Jim Crow to today, and all of the things that are unfair that are going on, that, you know, that the white privilege doesn't get. It doesn't get it. And what's it going to take to get it? How violent do you think this is going to have to go before we see actual real change?
Well, it needs to not be violent. That's the problem, because, you know, and I like I said, I support the protests, and I even participated in one right here in Manchester. But the second that violence is introduced, it gives all the right wingers an excuse to say, oh, look, this isn't, look at the rooters and the looters and rioters. This isn't really about, racial injustice. It's not about George Floyd. It's just people trying to take advantage. You know, everybody was kind of on the same page after the murder of George Floyd. And you know, even people who the typical right-wing authoritarian bootlickers were like, okay, well, you know, I watched the video, and yes, that was clearly murder. But as soon as the violence started, that gives them the excuse that they need to start to turn on the people who are protesting. And, you know, they lump them all in together, the protesters and the people who are committing the violence. And
they're right back to doing their authoritarian bootlicking. So there needs to be no violence, in my opinion. Violence actually undermines the message. It does not enhance it. But a lot of people disagree with me on that, but that's how I feel about it.
I don't necessarily disagree with you, and I'm not advocating violence, and I don't want to see violence. But there has to be something violent in the shakeup. It doesn't have to be violence of people against people, but there has to be some very big permanent shifts and changes for this to actually take hold in a way that's going to make a difference, that we're not doing this again in another 10 or 15 or 20 years. I mean, it's like, you look at the iteration and the iteration and the iteration of these things happening. And of course, the Trump is trying to get rid of the desegregation thing for suburbia as a really bad thing, is one of his latest things now. And, you know, saying that people in suburbia have a right to protect their property values.
Oh, yeah.
And
you can say whatever you want.
Presented by Ben Carson.
Of course.
And we'll be right back for the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Time.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
Quick, just shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what's your emergency?
911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, hello, hello. And welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times. On this, the first Thursday of the month, in the month of July, in the year 2020. And we've got some very clear vision in 2020, like we didn't have it before. This country has tons of white privilege and racist. It has tons of people that are so narcissistic that they have made a demigod out of the jackass in the White House, and that are so self-absorbed that they don't care who dies as long as they can get their hair colored and they can go hang out on the, you know, at the bicycle shop, motorcycle shop. So not that all motorcyclists are conservatives or Trump supporters. I know some very liberal motorcycle riders. So I apologize for that last part of the comment. So we're getting 2020 vision of just how dysfunctional this country really is, how hateful and how spiteful. And we're doing it with none other than hateful, spiteful Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. Yay!
I can be hateful and spiteful at times.
I don't think I've ever seen that side of you, and I've known you for a long time at this point.
Oh, you should have seen the Facebook post I wrote this morning that I ended up deleting after I read the story about the college students in Alabama having their coronavirus parties. I was pretty hateful and spiteful in the two paragraphs that I ended up taking out. Oh, yeah.
Any more hateful and spiteful than the fact that I was wanting to start a petition or try to see how many people I could get to sign on to even maybe create a GoFundMe where we could rent the largest venue in the country and even give away airline tickets for a Trump rally for everybody that wanted to go.
Well, would they be able to leave or would they have to stay there?
No, they can all go. It's 3 days of Trump talking, no social distancing, no masks, you know.
That's the flaw. They need to have to stay there. They need to have to commit to being there for a while so they could, get COVID and die.
There we go.
Well, because if you let them leave, then they just bring it home to everybody.
Yeah, but, you know, for the most part, like associates with like, so it's a way to clean up the U.S. Anyways, here on the very spiritual Dr. Kevin Joe. So I'm going to change the topic in this last thing. So a few things. One, I don't remember if I brought it up last time or not, but I'm bringing it up again. I have started a new podcast, which we're doing as a / Facebook Live that people can come and participate. And we've been having a lot of audience people. We've got a lot of people signing in and they're saying hello. And we see them sign in on the Zoom and we see them sign in on the Facebook as we're doing it. Not a lot of questions, a few comments.
Yeah.
But we're getting a lot of people showing up. And the new show is called Laughing, Loving, and Alive with Rain Thomas, who is the founder of the Prunes Are Sexy movement, and Elmer J. Howard, who you know.
Who is very nice.
The founder of Thrive Productions, changing the world one production at a time. And we get together and we bring on some interesting guests. Maybe you'll come join us sometime.
I would love it. Absolutely.
It's 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the second and fourth Sunday of the month. And if you go to Facebook and put in Laughing, Loving, and Alive, you can click like on the Facebook page or follow or whatever you click on that page. And then you'll be reminded and you can tune into the show or you can see it afterwards.
When does this begin?
It's already started. We've already had our first two shows.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So
second and fourth Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Pacific, because Rain is over in Las Vegas. And Elmer and I are here on the East Coast. So we chose a time The show is 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Sunday. Well, for those that have kids, the kids are in bed. For those that have been busy all weekend, they can sit down and relax, and they can get a little loving and have a little laughter and be reminded of what it feels like to be alive.
Very nice. So, very nice.
So I want to invite people to, you know, sign up, tune in, become part of that conversation. A very different show than the Dr. Kevin Show. I'm just one of three, and it certainly has, you know, I do a tight format on the rest of my shows pretty much. But on,
yes.
But Laughing, Loving, and Alive is got a format called Chaos and Mayhem, and we laugh a lot. So, and at some point, we should see if you want to get the replays on IPM Nation.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, you know, get it out there. So I do that.
Oh, I found I found the page. I'm going to give that a like right now.
There you go.
Yeah.
Like it, share it.
A follow. There we go.
There you go.
Excellent. Cool.
So I set a goal last year when I did Pride in Nashua. And, you know, you've known me for a long time and you've seen me a lot of different sizes, larger, smaller. I've had a weight issue since I was in my very late 20s, early 30s. I was chubby as a kid for a little bit after my parents divorced, all emotional eating and dealing with some of the abuse issues in my childhood. But I got thin at 14 and I stayed crazy thin until I was about 27 or 28. Like crazy, crazy thin.
Yeah.
You know, when I was doing some modeling and acting and I was doing professional dance, I weighed like 125 pounds.
Wow.
So, yeah. Crazy small, 26-inch waist or something. I don't know. But I still have some of my modeling pictures. But through the years, up and down, and always, as always, if there's a lot of emotional trauma going on, it goes up because I am one of those people that can emotionally eat. And of course, last year, Dad died, and it was very clear that Mother was in the early stages of dementia, which are now moderate, and I've moved her into a nursing home, and she's actually going downhill fairly fast, quick, from where we found her to where she is now.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of emotional stuff going on. And I ate my way through the first 6 months of 2019. And then on my birthday last year, I declared that my goal was that because this year I'll be 60, that my goal was to be sexy at 60. That I was going to work out. I was going to find better ways to deal with the emotional stuff. I understood why I did it. Being surrounded by stuff that I had known my whole life, dealing with my mother's clear dementia issues, dealing with all the stuff. And I fell back into childhood patterns of overeating. And I saw it. I saw myself do it. And I said, I need to change this. So I share all of this with you now because this weekend is my birthday. And I just want to share with my listeners that as of right now, I'm, according to the scale, I'm down 75 pounds.
Wow.
And
good for
80,
you.
I think 85 pounds was, 80 to 85 was fat because I put on some muscle. Mm-hmm. I'm working out 4 to 5 days a week. I've started doing some running on off days, created the floor gym, been working out, and I post. And I post it mostly on my personal Facebook fan page, but I've been trying to start to share it with Dr. Kevin, which is just what I'm doing every day. Because people go, you look fabulous. What are you doing? So I started saying, okay, well, these are the workouts I do. These are the videos I watch. This is what I'm doing with my eating lifestyle. So I've been kind of trying to post those because people ask me to inspire,
yeah,
and motivate. And then have days like the other day, it was like, today's a rest day. And you got to listen to your body on a rest day. But you got to know the difference between listening to your body and listening to your dysfunction. You know, and kind of balancing things. So I just wanted to kind of put it out there again, because this is, you know, in 2 days, I will have reached 60. And the sexy was just for me, because some people gave me a little bit of crap. Well, you're a spiritual guy. You're happily married. What is all this about? You want to be sexy at 60? And I'm like, I want to look in the mirror and feel sexy. Like, feel like I am in good shape, good energy, attractive, not because I want anybody. I'm perfectly happy in my marriage. I'm going to die in my marriage. I'm probably going to die in the house I own because I love it. And I'm okay with that. But that still doesn't mean that I don't want to look in the mirror and feel good about how I look.
Right.
It doesn't have to be for anyone else. It can be for yourself. In fact, wasn't that long ago, Jeff said, you might have gotten too skinny. Of course, which I said, there's no such thing as too skinny. Yeah, I mean, you haven't seen me physically for a while, especially with all the COVID stuff. You know, I'm hovering between a 32 and a 30-inch waist.
Wow.
And I just put it out there, not because, I mean, it's nice if people say, hey, you look fabulous. You know, what are you doing? You look great. You're healthy. But my energy is up. I'm only sleeping 4 to 5 hours a night a week now because I'm so energized, getting so much done, feeling so good about it, and really balancing my life. And one of the things is I wanted to share that I also do birthday goals, because one of the great things about having a July birthday, Matt, is in January, I can do my 2020 goals. And in July, 6 months later, I check in on my 2020 goals and I set my, what do I want to accomplish in my 60th year or whatever year it is?
Yeah.
And kind of check in and see where my goals were. And I had some what I thought were, you know, not impossible goals, certainly. I don't believe in setting yourself impossible goals. But I had some, I won't even say aggressive, but I had some assertive goals. And with the exception of one, I've achieved all my 2020 goals.
Wow.
I have 4 new books on the market, and I'll have 2 more out by the end of the year. That was one of my goals. I was going to get to an appropriate health and weight size. I was going to do work on my house, and that work is now being done and is in completion mode. So I set up my art studio. I have an art studio in my basement now beside my television studio for me to let all of the art stuff come out. So then I set my 60th goals, and I could look and say in 60. And so this is what I want to do now in my next thing. And I'm sharing this all with you, first of all, because it's a great time. We're friends and you're catching up, so to speak, on air while other people are listening, eavesdropping, those voyeurs. But also for my listeners, it is showing up with consistency and it's celebrating what you did get done. I recognized why I put on weight, and I even knew it when it was happening. And I was like, right now I'm in a lot of emotional pain and I'm dealing with everything as fast as I can. And if none of you have ever had somebody you love watching them go through dementia, it's something you have no control over. There's no magic pill for you. And oftentimes it's not an easy out. My mother's healthy as a horse physically. She could be around for 4, 5, 6 more years.
And
all of the different, you know, angry, confused, lost, accusatory. My mother has said things to me that she never would have said before she had dementia. Really horrible things sometimes, but I understand that it's her illness talking and not her.
Right.
But you can
of course.
You can understand that intellectually, but emotionally it's still not hard. It's still hard not to feel a little bit of a ding as you're kind of adjusting to this is the new reality of my world.
Yeah.
The new reality of my world is when I call to talk to my mother, I don't know who I'm going to talk to. And am I going to be the most horrible person in the world? Am I, you know, going to have done this to her? Have I plotted her? Have I put her in prison? Have I discarded her and thrown her away? I mean, things that my mother I grew up with never would have said. But it's part. So, again, to the listeners, set reasonable goals. I do birthday goals. I do beginning of the year goals. Make them achievable. If you go through them all, you can always set new ones. It's better to set three goals and knock them out of the park and then add a couple more on than to have six and then spend half the time beating yourself up because you don't feel like you're getting them done.
Right.
And look at what's realistic. In my case, COVID not only showed me I was an essential service and really pushed up my client practice, but it gave me some interesting freedoms and some opportunities to do things that I didn't know at the end of December when I was putting together the 2020 list. So anyway, Matthew, as always, thank you for coming.
Thank you. Always a good time.
Have a great 4th of July. Give my love to Jenny.
I will. All right. Thanks, everybody.
We'll see you next week with Lori Powers Auto on Thoughtful Thursday here on the Dr. Kevin Show.